So we learned within the last 24 hours that Syria has finally agreed to an Arab League plan that will allow foreign observers into the country after refusing for many weeks and after actually losing its membership in the Arab League. Joshua Landis is the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He writes the blog Syria Comment and joins us via Skype this morning. Joshua, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So what's your assessment here? Is the Syrian regime bowing to pressure from the Arab League, or is this essentially an accommodation, a kind of a conciliatory move with no real meaning?
Well, we're not sure right now. It has some meaning because there are going to be 100 observers that are going to come into Syria and fan out and see what's happening. And they've demanded that Syria withdraw its troops from the city. So there's likely to be demonstrations on both sides, pro-Bashar demonstrations that he will encourage, and the opposition are going to demonstrate whenever these people come to town. And it's going to be fireworks. Now, undoubtedly, Russia has played a big part in this, because what happened just before it is the Arab League threatened to go to the UN National Security Council and take their problem to them. And Russia had come up with new language that was going to be a little bit tougher on Syria. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if Russia had told Syria, you've got to do this or things are going to go badly.
Any sense of the ground rules of these international observers? That was one of the objections that motivated Syria not to go along originally, that they would have pretty much a free hand to go anywhere in the country. Any sense that they're going to be followed by minders like international journalists often are?
Well, Syria has asked to be given advance warning of where they're going to head because theoretically this is going to be inflammatory and there are going to be demonstrations to meet them. So it's going to be an explosive situation. It's very unclear how this is going to work out, because what is a government allowed to do in order to stop a revolution? Another problem that's just arisen is that Syria has said it's going to execute 21 members of the Free Syrian Army, the opposition army that's operating in Syria. And today, the Free Syrian Army leadership announced that they were going to take revenge if this happened. So, these observers are walking into a very explosive revolutionary situation where there is violence on the ground, and how they're going to adjudicate this is beyond me.
And at the very least, for the next 2 months or so, we may be getting images of inside Syria that we haven't up till now really received through the international media. Joshua Landis, director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at the University of Oklahoma. This is also about the credibility of the Arab League as much as anything, wouldn't you say?
Well, it is. And the Arab League has been divided. They condemned Syria. They suspended its membership. They said they were going to impose strict sanctions on it. But both Iraq and Lebanon abstained. And then Jordan said they couldn't join the sanctions because it would be too onerous on them. So that's three of the four neighbors that trade with Syria that had, in a sense, wiggled out of this. And that left only Turkey holding the bag with sanctions, which, almost all trade with Turkey is now cut off. But what could the Arab League really do? They wanted to take action. This allows them to say that they're doing something. But I think it's going to end up with the UN Security Council is where it's going to end up. But it gives Syria 2 more months.
And with a Russian veto in the Security Council, that's for sure. So the Russian involvement will be maintained. Joshua Landis is the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He also writes the blog Syria Comment. Joshua, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.